KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is opening up Tanner crab for harvest in the Kodiak Management Area for the first time since 2013. Also, in the world of sea cucumber harvest, Alaska is stepping up to meet the demand. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
This year will be the first opening for Tanner crab the Kodiak Management Area has seen in a few years. Nat Nichols, Alaska Department of Fish and Game Area Management Biologist for the groundfish, shellfish, and dive fisheries, says the last opening was in 2013. He says ADF&G conducts an extensive trawl survey program between Dutch Harbor and Kodiak focused on Tanner crab in the Gulf of Alaska.
This year we did 363 stations. About 200 of those are in Kodiak, so quite a few stations around Kodiak to assess Tanner crab abundance. Once we work up those survey results, we compare them to abundance thresholds that are set out in the harvest strategy and regulation, and that gives us guidance as to whether we can proceed with the fishery.
He says abundance levels have now reached the point that the Tanner crab fishery can open again, and ADF&G recently set the guideline harvest levels.
We're looking to target 260,000 pounds from the east side section and 140,000 pounds from the southwest section. And those will be the only two sections that are open this year.
He says the fishery opens January 15th. Meanwhile, the Dungeness crab season, which opened in May and June, closed last week.
We had five vessels participating, and it looks like we've wrapped up with about 180,000 pounds of Dungeness across the dock. Harvest in Kodiak is pretty variable over the last 10 years. We've had seasons less than 100,000 pounds, and we've had seasons over a million. So this year's kind of right in there, but sort of in the lower portion of what we've seen in the last decade.
Nichols says some of the decrease in participation could be due to this year's good salmon season. He says fishermen may have not felt such a need to turn to Dungeness to supplement their incomes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The sea cucumber fishery in Southeast opened for harvest in the beginning of October. It's now halfway through its season. And much like salmon this year, it looks like the state's sea cucumber harvest is also finding success on the global market. Out of all the divers in Southeast, most touched down in Ketchikan. Bo Meredith, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Assistant Area Management Biologist for Commercial Fisheries in Ketchikan, says about 160 divers recently made landings in Southeast. He says 100 of those were in Ketchikan. He says the other region where divers harvest sea cucumbers is the Kodiak Management Area. In Kodiak, fewer than 20 divers this year participated for a total guideline harvest level of 140,000 pounds.
Southeast Alaska has this year 1.2 million pounds, but we're also, you know, you're talking about approaching the northern end of the geographic range for the red sea cucumber or California sea cucumber. So your productivity is not going to be as high, whereas Ketchikan is more in the prime zone of the geographic range for the sea cucumber as you head south.
He says this year there are 18 different harvest areas in Southeast, each with its own GHL. Once an area reaches its limit, it closes and reopens 3 years later. He says sea cucumbers take 3 to 4 years to mature, so that helps avoid overfishing. And that could play into why Alaska-sourced sea cucumbers are doing so well worldwide. Meredith says Alaska saw a change in the value of sea cucumbers about 6 years ago.
And all of a sudden the price went from about $2.50 a pound to $4 or $5 a pound, and it's been kind of steady at about $4 a pound. And then this year it shot up to $5 to $5.50 a pound.
Mike Erickson is the part owner of Alaska Glacier Seafoods, which processes sea cucumbers in Juneau. He believes poor management and overfishing in other countries could be why Alaska has risen in the ranks.
The supply is not meeting the demand, hence the price starts going up.
Erickson says, according to some of his buyers, Mexico used to be a big player in the global market.
And they still are, but they don't have the volumes that they had a couple, 3 years ago. They've literally fished out some of their areas, so consequently, they don't have the supply that they had, and a lot of those cukes from Mexico were going to China.
He says Alaska Glacier Seafoods also sends many of its cukes to China.
You have a skin and you have a meat. So basically you extract the meat out of the skin, and then those two items kind of go to different markets. Like the skin will basically head to Asia, and the meat, even though we do sell some over into Hong Kong, we sell a fair amount of meat on the East Coast here in the U.S., believe it or not.
Erickson says he thinks sea cucumbers are doing so well, partly because of Fish and Game's management system. He also credits Alaska's reputation for pristine waters and a high-quality product. The Anchorage landfill is now the owner of 158,000 pounds of highly contested Bristol Bay salmon from the fishing vessel Accutan. Even after a disastrous season where the boat ended up disabled, the crew was hopeful the fish could be saved and they would get paid. Zoe Sobel of Alaska's Energy Desk has the story of how so much valuable salmon ended up going to waste.
The fishing vessel Accutan is a custom processor. This summer, it was supposed to process up to 100,000 pounds of salmon a day for Bristol Bay Seafoods LLC, a small group of fishermen. But nearly everything that could go wrong did. The vessel's owner went broke, the crew wasn't paid, and when 158,000 pounds of fish came off the boat in early September, a third-party testing group, NSF, declared it unfit for human or animal consumption. Captain Steve Leckleitner says the only test NSF ran on the fish was a sniff test, meaning the tester smelled the fish to determine it was bad.
I kind of chuckled a little bit, you know, but that's how they're certified.
Leckleitner says a representative from Bristol Bay Seafoods LLC selected the four 50-pound bags that NSF tested. That means less than 0.1% of all the fish was tested. Because the fish was so highly contested, Leckleitner says he suggested to the NSF tester that additional testing be done.
She told me that full testing could be done, but it had to be contracted. And Bristol Bay Seafoods didn't pay for that, and they didn't want the report released.
NSF declined to comment for this story, saying they wanted to keep the testing confidential. In a statement, a lawyer representing Bristol Bay Seafoods LLC said the company believes the fish was polluted sometime between mid-August and when the fish was removed from the processor in early September. The lawyer says when the fish was unloaded, 25,000 pounds were visibly saturated with fuel. Additionally, the lawyer says it's unclear whether the Accutan crew contaminated the fish on purpose or through negligence. Chief Engineer Decio Andrade says it wouldn't make sense for the crew to destroy the fish since their pay hinged on the fish going to market.
You know, to say that all the fish is condemned, all the fish has diesel in it, that's BS. There's no way the diesel ever touched the fish.
Both Andrade and Captain Leckleitner believe Bristol Bay Seafoods LLC wanted the fish to be found unsafe for consumption because it allows the company to collect on an insurance claim for the fish's full market value.
If the fish is condemned, then Bristol Bay Seafoods has an insurance claim. They would receive all of that. If it went that way, then the crew would not get paid.
Leckleitner says the Department of Labor had liens on the fish. If it had sold, he says Bristol Bay Seafoods LLC would not see any money. Instead, the funds would be used to pay the crew. The Department of Labor has declined to comment until the case is closed. In Alaska, the State Department of Environmental Conservation says it's not unprecedented to have this much fish go to waste. Since 2014, the department has ordered more than 100,000 pounds of fish destroyed at least two other times. In this case, Bristol Bay Seafoods LLC says the Anchorage landfill was the only available disposal option in the state. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
A new Bristol Bay fish buyer is getting itself ready for the 2018 season. North Line Seafoods is planning to bring its 150-foot freezing barge into the Nooshigak District and is on the hunt for some quality-minded drifters to buy from. KDLG's Dave Benninger has more.
Ben Blakey is no stranger to the Bristol Bay salmon processing game. His family used to run Snowpack Products, which operated the vessel now known as the Gordon Jensen, and also later the plant at Wood River, both of which were sold to Icicle Seafoods.
You know, I worked on the processing side of things until I was around 18, 19, and then bought a fishing boat back in the early 2000s when things were pretty cheap. You know, and I fished between about 2003, 4, up until about 2015 when I took a hiatus to build Northline Seafoods.
Northline got going in 2016, and Blakey, its president, says they froze about 70,000 pounds of product in Sitka that summer. What he and his partner Pat Glob have been working on is how to improve the quality in high-volume salmon fisheries.
What we've really been focusing on is how to, you know, freeze a round fish properly. So that is, you know, minimize the labor input and try and freeze it as quickly as you can, as shortly after it's caught as you can.
They bought an old 150-foot logging barge and retrofitted it to buy, sort, and freeze salmon on board. Blakey says he likes the way this vessel is laid out to be a one-stop shop.
The housing is suspended over the deck, so we actually have a large flat area to work with, because essentially our platform is one giant freezer that just produces a lot of ice and freezes a lot of fish. And perhaps most importantly, it has space for buying stations.
Meaning Northline Seafoods isn't planning on using a tender fleet. For now, they intend to anchor up at Clark's Point and will be looking for vessels who are willing to deliver away from the south line. Aside from blast freezing some 90,000 pounds of salmon every day, Blakey says the Northline barge will also be kicking out some 90 tons of ice per day.
To put it in perspective, that's likely to be somewhere to the tune of, you know, 8 to 10 bags per boat per opening. So it's a significant amount that we believe is kind of needed in order to handle the volumes of fish that most boats are bringing in these days.
He believes Northline can help fill a gap that has developed as more major processors are requiring or heavily incentivizing chilled fish, but there doesn't seem to be enough ice, or the $40,000 to $50,000 RSW upgrade is too much for some fishing vessels. Blakey and Glob believe if the fishermen can bring them bags of well-chilled fish, they can freeze those sockeye in the round and sell a very high-quality product with the head, bones, and offcuts included.
So a major component of what we're working on is, hey, how do we get the most utilization out of Bristol Bay salmon? You know, we've had good luck maintaining roe quality, frozen in round form. And, you know, freezing on the fishing grounds, we're able to, you know, basically monitor quality directly.
And probably do that with much less labor than an average shore-based processor. Blakey is coming to Dillingham next week to meet with fishermen who are interested in trying something new next season. No doubt part of those discussions will be what makes Northline different than the Accutan, Extreme Seafoods, or a long list of other small processors who tried and failed to cut into the most dynamic and highest volume sockeye fishery on Earth. Blakey says he and Glob are up to the task. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Dave Benninger in Dillingham and the Alaska Energy Desk's Zoe Sobel in Unalaska. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.